You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Do I need light on in here? Can y'all hear me?
Do you need a light on so we can hear you?
No, I'm saying that was two separate statements. I'm saying, do I need a light on? And then can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Okay. Lord, Father God, help me, Jesus.
I thought you was about to pray. I was like,
Lord, Father God, we come to you right now with our heads humbly bowed. I am tired. I had a little insomnia last night. I didn't go to bed till 7 o'clock this morning. It is Monday, January 17th.
Martin Luther King Day. We are all just trying to do our best. We are all just trying to do our best.
We are all just trying to do our best. I'm so glad it's Martin Luther King Day. That means a holiday. Nobody's working today. Nobody's sending me emails, or they shouldn't be. But yeah, we're about to get this show started. What y'all doing? What y'all reading?
I was reading a text message from a friend.
What are they talking about? Let's share.
We're just talking about her career. That's all.
Oh, she's sad.
No.
I guess I shouldn't assume. She's sad.
No, she's not sad.
Good morning, everybody.
I guess I shouldn't assume.
She said she's sad. I was like, damn.
Actually texting Ariana DeBose.
You're texting Ariana DeBose?
No. I'm joking. No. But I'm saying I could be. And she's like, girl, I just won this Golden Globe. I don't know her, but you know what I mean?
On Twitter. Oh my
God. Well, because I was going to say she's definitely not sad.
No, she is on cloud nine.
Right. Did y'all see SNL? Did you watch her SNL episode?
I did not, okay, but I always watch the sketches.
We'll come back to it because it was one of the hot topics. Anyway.
I watch the sketches. So yes, I have that information.
You have that information. Okay, we'll come back to it. All right. I don't know why I'm so tickled. Oh, this is going to be a loopy episode. I can feel it. Here we go. There's only one place to learn.
No other host like me. Come check it out. You'll see.
Okay. All right, everybody. It's a brand new episode of Off Book presented to you by Broadway Black. We're ready to hit our mark and we're ready to do it right now. I'm Drew Shade.
I'm Gazelle.
I'm Kim Exum.
And we're here. Let's go. Y'all, it's time to go off book right now. What's going on, everybody? How y'all feeling? We made
good.
It. We made it. Y'all, like, oh my goodness. The Zoloft has kicked in. Like,
amen.
But it also,
what does it feel like? What does that mean?
It means that I actually have like the cognitive function to like get up and move and you know, actually be productive through my day and actually have like the mood or the energy to, you know, move my body, if you will. So I've just switched to a new medication and I've had like a little bit of a lull in there. It's just been a crazy little, you know, past week with that. So, you know, we move on, we try new things, we move on and we try to get better. And so that's what we're doing. And so, it's working so far, but also I think it gave me, some insomnia. I was up this morning till 7 a.m. It is, you know, we were supposed to record at 10. I didn't wake up till 10:30. I'm just like, as you can see in my eyes, I'm just exhausted. But it's fine. It's, you know, I'm pushing through. I am pushing through. We didn't record last week. We didn't record last week, did we? Mm-mm. Okay, wow, it feels like, okay, because we did record the week before. How are you guys doing? What's going on with you all? How was your week?
I saw a lot of shows, actually.
What'd you see?
I was stir crazy, so I was just kind of like, I was recovering from COVID, and that brought up just a lot of health stuff. So I've been really in solitude. And so I've been like, let me actually go support some friends and see some theaters and see some things before they close. So I saw Daniel and Keke and Tina before, because he yesterday was his last day. So I went and saw him on Thursday. I saw Clyde's. I saw Kimberly Akimbo.
You've been really out.
Yeah, I've been out and back inside.
No, I thought Kimberly Akimbo was closing later on in January because I still wanted to go see, you know, Darius.
No, they closed on the 15th.
I figured that out when, you know, I was talking with Darius and, you know, he's the associate choreographer on the piece and I was going to go check it out. And by the time I got to it, they had already, you know, closed on the 15th. Like literally, I found out like the day before it closed and I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Because I just ain't been feeling like going nowhere. Like, yeah. not one single show. I do not care right now.
Yeah. I mean, I won't be back out until, you know, June.
Black History Month.
Yeah.
I won't be back out to Black History Month.
Yeah. So, but I just want to catch some things before.
But how was Kimberly Akimbo?
Kimberly Akimbo, that's a difficult one. That's a difficult show. That's the premise. What's it about? Hard. It was hard. So the premise of the original play is basically about a woman who... or a young girl essentially who has a disease that ages her four times older than she actually is. So the premise of the show is following a woman that's so it's meant for an actress in their 60s to be playing a 14-year-old girl.
Oh wow, that's interesting.
So it's a very brilliant play. It is a very difficult musical because it's like you got to figure out the music, you got to figure out the energy, you got to figure out the premise, you know what I mean? So you have these people who are young 20-year-olds who are playing teenagers, but you have Victoria Clark, who is, you know, and I love
Victoria Clark.
Yeah, and Janine Tesori did the music. David Lindsay Abair did the book, and so it's really like
that sounds like a recipe for a hit.
It is. I don't think it is quite there yet. I think it's difficult. I mean, the audience was really enjoying themselves, but I was like, this feels. Some stuff just felt like just well, and not
it did quite get like a it did get like a surge at the end. At the end of its run, it got like a really big surge of like, oh, this is the best, you know, new musical time, you know, New York Times critics pick or some shit.
Yeah, I don't trust reviews. I don't read my reviews. I read other people's reviews, but I don't believe.
Yeah, I don't really trust them either. But you know.
And I go because I'm like, I'm curious. Like, I don't really go because of a review. I go because I'm like, I'm curious about how this is gonna work as a person who's also trying to make musicals. So for me, it felt a little just like not quite, it just felt like they have a difficult task on their hand, but because the play is so good and the premise of the play is so moving that you can kind of ride off. It's one of those things where I'm like, oh, the story is good. It's a good story and it's, and that's moving, but the music to it, for me, the music doesn't quite all, you know, do it. But the kids, I was living for the kids, the children, and with that were, you know, I was looking for the Black kids as always.
I heard he was amazing. The kid who played opposite her.
He was fan fucking tastic. I'm like, where's his musical? Like, you know, so it was.
Who was the kid that's playing? Who's in the show? Is it Roman Banks?
I don't know. Is it Roman Banks?
I need to do better with this. Let me look up the name.
From what I remember of looking at the cast list, the Black person, I believe, don't give me the lying, but, you know, from what I remember of the cast.
It's Justin Cooley, right?
Justin Cooley, yes.
I didn't lie. Ooh, I'm going to bleep that name. I'm going to bleep that name out of there so nobody even know who I'm talking about.
What a fantastic actor. This young man, I was like, it made me want to write something for him. He was so good. Such a fantastic actor. So,
Boyer was in that. Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
Cooley. Come on, Justin Cooley.
I mean, I think he was
just grad. He's in school. Oh yeah. He's in school.
Come on, Justin.
2025.
Cooley?
He's class of 2025.
He was part of the Jimmy Awards. He was just a finalist, so he's like
fresh
on the scene. But that's amazing.
Isn't that crazy to be that young and
I love it. Come on, Justin Cooley.
I mean, he was dropped like talented
and Olivia
after.
Elise Hardy,
and I believe he was playing some.
And Fernell Hogan.
Oh, Fernell gave me life. I'm telling you, the kids gave me life.
Come on,
Fernell was giving it to me. So there's something about it that it's not quite. I'm interested for them to figure it out more because I, you know, it's a Broadway team, so it'll probably get more life. Yeah. But so I'm interested, but it's, for me, it's actually, it still definitely needs to be figured out. The concept is great, but musically for me, for my money, I was like, something doesn't quite match.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. You know that's going to Broadway. I was reading like an article about Janine Tesori and about her career and like, you know, just like how she's kind of had this interesting training that's kind of like very intersectional music wise, which begets her style. So I haven't heard any of this music, but I would, how you described it prior to the show was like, you know, that it was not really in alignment with, I mean, well, that's the thing about her. She kind of writes very differently depending on what the story is for, using whatever influence that, you know, the story needs. So I would be interested in hearing it, but just reading a bit about like her creative process and like what moves her and how she kind of is always in a state of making music because she's just so musically inclined and gifted. I would like to hear this like in juxtaposition with like Carolina Change that was running, or you know,
Fun Home. Like there's something about it that feels
Fun Home was so good.
And Fun Home is like really where it's like the collaborate, like it, like it's fan, like Fun Home is like so brilliant, fantastic. So I again never saw that in its early incarnation. I saw on Broadway Carolina Change. Like I've heard music like once it's like figured out and on Broadway. So it's interesting to see like. It feels like I'm getting something like a mixture of this sort of dissonance of some like, you know, Carolina Change, because like, she's like a Sondheim or like a William Finn. It's not like catchy music, right?
But, yeah, it's for the story. It's like the music is for the, and if we happen to come upon something that's like, oh, this is a catchy tune, then cool. But yeah, I like that kind of writing style.
Yeah, but for me, it's like, it's still figuring itself out and everyone on stage is incredibly talented. So I think everyone's on the ride, but there's something about it, at least for my money, I was like, it was a little, misconnection to me. But it was just like, it was just cool to, you know, see a new musical that isn't originally musical. So
hello.
You know.
Okay. Well, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll get to check it out soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kimberly Akinbo. And shout out to all the kids in that.
Yes.
Oh, my week.
Yeah, that's what I was like. What were we talking about?
I saw MJ the musical. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
I've heard so many great things.
Of course I have notes. Of course there's notes. It has to be cut. It must be cut. Okay. And they also need to.
What if they don't cut?
What if they don't cut it?
And they're doing themselves a disservice. Okay. There are just some numbers that, like, one of the worst number that I, the worst number for me, which wasn't a bad number, but I didn't like it, was Human Nature. I just thought that it was, I didn't like it. In Act Two, some of the scenes to me didn't necessarily serve the plot. Mm-hmm. It didn't serve, like, you know, getting to the end of this little, you know, spot in Michael's life. And we all know, well, not we all, but most Black people know Michael Jackson's story from a child to, you know, the end. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was really well done how they intertwined his story with the tour that they're working on in the musical. Miles Hodges, I believe that's his name. I might have messed his name up, but the lead dude who plays Michael is bomb. All the little Michael, the middle Michael, and the lead Michael, they're all fantastic. I mean, he sounds just like Michael down to the vibrato. I felt like I was being mind fucked because I was like, this is crazy. I feel like I'm watching Michael Jackson, you know, which is something, a dream that I've had since I was a kid, is to like watch Michael. And it didn't feel like an impersonation. It felt like he was really embodying Michael Jackson, like down to like the corniness, the quirkiness, the funniness, the seriousness, the drive. And it was really inspiring to see that. And you kind of forget, you know, there's a lot of noise around Michael Jackson, but you do kind of forget that like this type of talent, like we talk about Beyonce, but it's not the same. Michael Jackson is a once in a lifetime kind of energy, a performer.
Sure, sure.
And I have never even presently, I don't see anyone who could touch the hem of his garment when we're talking talent, musicality, mm-hmm. dancing, packaging, just icon status. So they captured that. They mm-hmm. really captured that. And that young man is fierce. I sent in an audition tape for Wicked for Glinda, which was
yes.
Yeah, which was hard. I mean, it actually, I could totally play that role. But it was hard. I'm not usually singing like, you know, legit soprano, but that was cool to send in a tape for that.
Sing it. What you sing?
I mean, Drew, it's 11:14 and I'm not warmed up.
Well, give us a little taste.
Give you a taste of Let Us Be Glad.
Let us be glad.
That's not the key.
What's the key? Tell us the key.
It's Let Us Be Glad, Let Us Be Grateful. Like, I believe that's it. I might be wrong, but like, it's very high and then up the octave.
Let us be glad.
Anyway, I sent you a tape for that. So that was cool. I think they're trying to, I think they're trying to get their folders, their files padded.
I don't know why I'm tickled.
I'm like, what is it? It's high as shit.
Oh, God. You don't
tell me that's not the right key, but they're singing in the same key I'm singing in.
I didn't. Oh, God. This is, what is it? It's this.
That reminds me, I got an impromptu singing lesson. I ran into Alex Newell at Glass Tavern after I saw Tina Turner. And we were talking about company, and he gave me an impromptu singing lesson. It made me feel like I could get back out there. I'm not going to, but it made me feel like I could.
I mean, come on. Get back out there. You can write a role in your own musical, in the musical you're writing.
Yeah,
it's but let us be glad, but up the octave.
But I want to, I told you my dream is to win a musical. It's to win let a Tony be to glad. Be the non singing role in a musical. So that's what I'll do, to be the David High Pierce. those are my dreams.
We don't even notice you didn't sing because it was so good.
Yeah. That's my dream. Well, I have like a really like, low 11 o'clock number.
Come on. You really don't need. I mean, I think singing is overhyped at this point. Mm. It's just too much. Everything's oversung. It's too much.
I can barely keep my eyes open, let alone think about singing. So anyway. What else? How's Ezzy doing in school?
Well, she's fine. She was in quarantine because she had COVID exposure. So she was out of school. She was out of school for a break, came back, was literally in quarantine until Friday. And then today's Martin Luther King Day. So she's out of school today too, but she's fine. She's just being, you know, being three. I'm taking her to see a show today.
Okay. What show?
The Winnie the Pooh show off Broadway.
The Winnie the Pooh show. Ain't that supposed to be closing? I heard that was closing.
I don't know what it's really called. It might not be called The Winnie the Pooh show.
I think it is called
Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, it is?
The Pooh, the musical year or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I know that they're opening a company in Chicago. That's how I was on Broadway World looking at stuff for some reason. And it popped up like, they're coming to Chicago. I was like, what is this? And then I clicked. I was like, oh, shit. They're in New York. Let's do this tomorrow. So we're going to do that today. But it seems pretty cool. There's puppets. I love puppets. So hopefully puppets. She likes it. Puppets are underused, I think.
Are they?
I think so.
We haven't seen puppets in a lot. Like puppets are, you know,
Are cool. There's so many different kinds of puppets too.
That's true.
You know, we're in the age of the screen. I think it's a very interesting, it's like where stagecraft and acting collide. Because the actor has, it's like you have to be trained in this. You have to be trained in this other discipline while acting. And it's like another way to get into character. I don't know. I think it's underused. I think that we could use a lot more puppets in different ways. It triggers imagination in a different way than like a fucking digital screen.
Yeah, then productions. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into our topic, y'all. I think it's time. I think it's time to get into hot topics.
It's me. It's me, Ezzy.
It's you, Ezzy. Hey, hi. Ezzy. Hi.
Sorry.
It's okay. How are you, Ezzy?
We love you.
Good.
You're good?
Did you hear that I don't go to school today?
I did.
We didn't hear.
You didn't go to school today.
School I heard
that. It's Martin Luther King Day.
Well,
do you know who Martin Luther King is?
No.
Martin Luther King Jr.
I don't think she knows she's black.
She knows she's black.
Ezzy, are you black? Are you black? You are?
She's nodding her head.
Oh, good. I'm glad you know. Am I black?
Do you have a song for us, Ezzy?
You're brown.
I'm brown. Okay. So how are you black then?
Because my brown skin is strong to get black.
Hey. Can we stop doing that? Do you have anything to say? Mm. Let's do words only and stop touching the mic.
Yeah.
Words only.
Have you ever seen an elephant in the air?
No.
Have you ever seen an elephant in the air?
Are you done? Oh, we have to finish doing our job.
Butterfly is back.
Yeah, the purple butterfly is back. Come on, we have to finish working, okay? And then I can play with you. Because remember, we're going to go see.
I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, we're going to go see a musical off Broadway.
Hooray! Go to Broadway! Wait, a different Broadway or your work Broadway?
Not my work Broadway. Not my work Broadway, but it's literally all in the same place.
Oh my goodness.
But it's going to be fun, like my work Broadway.
Only they make less money.
Hooray!
Okay. So can I do my work so that we can go to Broadway later?
Yes, we're going today.
Yeah.
To see Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I love Winnie the Pooh. I have a toy like Winnie the Pooh.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'll show you it.
Oh, okay. You have one. Okay.
I'll be right back and show you.
Okay.
It's like off Broadway. It's like Kim's job, only they get paid a lot less, Evie.
Right.
Is it like your job Broadway? Your work Broadway? Anyway, I'm sorry, y'all. What are the hot topics? You about to cut all this out?
Who knows? Who knows? But here we go. Let's go. Hot topics.
We love to talk about so much shit. So now it's time for hot topics.
All right. Everything then closed. So today's January 17th. Yesterday, everything. Why are you laughing?
That was funny and terrible.
Everything that's
like, no, I don't want anybody to think we laughing at they.
No,
people are taking that personally. Come on,
it's
people.
It's a sad reality, but also it's ironic. It's like everything must.
Well,
close.
And some shows have promises to come back.
Child, that
are in the fall. Mm-hmm. Or this summer. So To Kill a Mockingbird ended yesterday. They will reopen at the Belasco this summer. Ain't Too Proud closed yesterday. They had their final performance at Ain't Too Proud yesterday as well. Flying Over Sunset ended yesterday, as well as Lynn Nottage's Clydes. And if you didn't catch that on, they were streaming that the last 2 weeks. You could have bought a streaming ticket to watch the show live each night.
I really wanted to see it.
You didn't buy a streaming ticket?
They're streaming live. I would have missed like most of it. And it's a play, so I would have came back and something would have happened. I've been like, what is going on? Anyway.
I wonder if they allowed you to rewind on that.
No,
it's live. No.
Oh. Well, shoes. They need a screen record or something. I know somebody got the professional shot of it, so it'll I'm gonna find it on YouTube.
Not YouTube.
Watch. I'm gonna find it on YouTube. Watch. Everything closed down. I was so surprised that Ain't Too Proud was closing, because I just never saw that coming.
I mean, I don't know. I wasn't in their house, so I don't know how they were selling, but the way them boys were working, they were at every event, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's what there we kept saying. They was working.
I was going to be there. They perform everywhere, every street corner, every subway station, every block. They were in performance.
They were working hard. They were working hard.
Well, shout out to all of them, y'all. Much love. And
yeah, they were. Y'all were working.
I think also Girl from the North Country close.
No, they're coming back.
They're temporary closed.
Yeah, but they're temporary closed too. Yeah, that was another one. But have they closed yet? Or are they already closed? Like they closed.
They had a temporary close. Yeah, this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But they're not supposed to come back to win like the spring or something. I mean, the summer or the fall.
I think spring because I'm that one is still technically like new musical, so I don't imagine that they're gonna come after Tony season. I think they're still trying to come back for Tony season. So yeah.
We'll get into Intimate Apparel, the opera at Lincoln Center. It began on January 13th. I'm interested in seeing that. That looks like it's going to be something good. And I think that's turning that story into an opera is very interesting. I think that will lend itself very well. And Linda's got plays and musicals everywhere, don't she?
She did.
I mean, she had at one time, she had Clyde's on Broadway. She had MJ the musical. And she had an op, you know, that this opera.
Intimate Apparel opera, like
Go off
with your bad self. Do you hear me? Even in the middle of a pandemic, Lynn Nottage. Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Dominique. Dominique had, at one time, had Ain't Too Proud and Skeleton Crew on as well. So, yeah.
Go off, girl. We love to see it. Yeah. Did y'all see Danielle Brooks' wedding photos?
Yes, I did.
Oh my God. So
amazing.
It was absolutely just, just stunning.
Incredible. Like, it just was the dresses were incredible.
Yeah, like I just could not even, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Congratulations to Danielle Brooks on her marriage to Dennis Galyon. She wore two gowns, one by Kristen Siriano and another by Oluwagbemisole.
You should have emailed me that. I could have helped you.
I didn't even know. I'm just reading it right now.
I could have helped you a little bit.
My just bad.
Look it up.
but beautiful, beautiful gowns. And I mean that literally.
yes, beautiful gowns.
Yes, amazing. Beautiful, beautiful gowns.
Y'all better be getting married.
Have y'all seen the Witness Uganda album, the new music video?
So they have what is going on with me?
They have two videos out.
What? Oh, I didn't see no video. I just heard the album was dropping. I'm like, how am I abreast?
The album is dropping February 11th. You know, I love this musical. This has the songs from the latest rendition of the musical that was in LA. So they did a music video for Fall, sung by Emma Hutton and Matthews. And then they also did a video for don't give me the lion. What is the name of the song? I want to call it, I don't want to make Bricks. That's the name of it. I was going to say Breaks, but it's Bricks.
All white bricks.
I don't think they're talking about those type of bricks, but they're not talking about those type of bricks, but yes. Yeah, so check out Witness Uganda. And Matthews, Griffin Matthews directed the video. His directorial debut.
You better move into another lane.
The album will feature Cynthia Erivo, Ledisi, Nicolette Robinson, Crystalyn Lloyd, and many others. And so I'm excited to hear them sing these songs. You know, it's one of my favorite musicals since its off-Broadway run in 2015. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. What else is going on, y'all? Like, I feel like it was sort of not really.
Ariana DeBose hosted SNL.
Oh, that's what it was. I was like, I'm feeling like I'm missing something, but also.
And
like,
won a Golden Globe.
But you know, what's fucked up about that is that they released the winners via Twitter. Like.
Yeah, because people are over.
The Golden Globes.
Are over. I mean, they're not over. No, they're not. Oh, you couldn't find it? I'm so sorry.
Well, the year prior, there was all this controversy because basically it came out that basically like the Golden Globes is just one giant bribe, essentially. Because like it was like when, I guess it was like, you know, they decided to notice it when, like, I Made a Sure You Didn't Get Any Nominations and Emily in Paris somehow got like a million nominations. So mm-hmm. they talked about how like the Hollywood Foreign Press was flown over to Paris. And so they talked about the history of the Golden Globes and how essentially, one, it's racist, but two, just they just really were just people who've been bribed. The Hollywood Foreign Press has been bribed. So a lot of the actors were like, we're not coming and we're kind of boycotting it. So it was like a lot of artists were just like, we're not coming. So they essentially like didn't have any, and the Golden Globes was really just like a celebrity fest. And so when the top celebrities were like, we're not going because this is dumb. And then obviously with Omicron, they really kind of were forced to not even really have a ceremony because everyone was like, we're through with the Golden Globes. So
yeah,
so it's hard.
Yikes. Yeah, that was just like,
yeah,
I was flabbergasted. People didn't get their moment. They didn't get acceptance speeches. Like, you know, MJ Rodriguez had to go on Instagram right. Live.
Right. And, right.
Like, that's crazy. That's crazy.
It's crazy. But I don't know. I'm of two minds like about it because I'm like, yeah, I'm of two what? Minds about it. Because half of me says,
dismantle that system, man.
Yes. Half of me says,
I think so.
I would love for people to have their moment, but also, like, they already won. MJ Rodriguez already did an amazing thing with Pose. We already know that she's amazing. And I do believe that she should get the awards and all the flowers. But I'm like, these things don't fucking matter. So it really like actually brought to light that I'm like, yeah, what if we just put all this shit on Twitter? Because I'm like, the Antonios were better produced than the fucking Golden Globes. Do you want your Golden Globe now? Do you know what I mean? Like, what are we all fighting for? Like, what are we all like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's yes.
But I'm just kind of like, half of me was like, do these things really fucking matter, y'all? When it's just on Twitter? Like, can you really, like, what do we... You already did the job and you were already amazing, you know? So right. I'm of two minds.
It's like, I do, you know, it does suck that like, once you finally get to that level, like the ceremony is no more, but at the same time, flashback to 2020, you know, everyone's marching the streets, shut it down. And just like, you know, I'm not saying anyone's doing this, but as kind of predicted, it's like, okay, shut it down because you're not a part of it, or shut it down because you actually want it shut down. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if we want the thing shut down, if we want the thing dismantled, this is what it looks like. And even though people are getting their flowers, that, you know, should have probably gotten it prior to this moment, it's like, this is what shutting down the system looks like. Everyone is going to have to take some sort of L, you know, you're not exempt because you're a part of a disenfranchised community. So I like it. I mean, it was like, you know, I feel like if I was nominated for a Golden Globe, I would be hype that I won one anyway, that I reached that level. And yes, it would suck that there isn't a ceremony, just like, you know, if you're opening a Broadway
pictures
show,
it's from your first,
it sucks that there's not
everybody,
it sucks that there's not an opening night. It sucks that there's not like an opening night party. It sucks that, you know, you can't have a proper closing. It sucks that all
you don't
these
have a premiere party
suck.
Yeah,
you can't have a premiere. Yeah. But that's just the way it is. And if we really want to dismantle some shit, if we really want to like shake the table and disrupt the system, then I think this is what's going to happen. Because if you really don't want awards to matter,
you actually have to eliminate
how you do it.
I realize
you
that.
Know? But at the same time, like, I don't know that Golden Globes count as a certain awards. You get pay bumps, right? You get nominated for an Emmy. You get nominated for an Emmy. The network gives you a pay bump, like you get a bonus, you know what I mean? So it is like, also it contributes to what you get financially. I don't know if Golden Globes are included with that. I don't think they are, but yeah, it's like, it for me, it was like, oh, this is really interesting. I didn't know the Golden Globes happened until people announced it on Facebook that people
won. I didn't either. I was like, what?
So
there was no promotion, no lead up. Like, what?
The SAG award really should be the one that matters to me, like the most. Because it's your peers, you know, and the SAG usually does beget the Oscar. But it's like, you know, the SAG award kind of makes sense because it's like, you know, as actors, we do want to be, of course, you know, there's a part of you that wants to be adored by fans and the public, but you want to be respected by your peers. You want to be able to sit, like, if somebody's coming to see the show, I want them to sit in the audience and be like, that girl's good. She's really good. I was really impressed by what she did. I felt what she did. She's good at her craft. You know, so like, I'm all for the SAG awards, you know, that yeah, have a ceremony. That's us, you know. But then, I mean, then you get into like, well, who's in the union and who's
working? Because exactly. So it's just really interesting because I'm like, I'm, you know, I love an award ceremony because it's also a chance for a community to sell. Why shouldn't a community get to celebrate itself, right? Like, why shouldn't they? But then it's like, but we've really turned awards into something else that doesn't feel good. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't feel honest and doesn't feel laced in something that is actually representative of why we all decided to do this in the first place. So yeah, Golden Globes are on Twitter. You know?
Yeah. And then also, you know, SNL, like, I want to talk about this for a second because I watched and I could not understand. Am I crazy? Was she doing a black scent through like every scene?
I didn't see it.
A black scent, I don't know, but there was definitely a Puerto Rican scent, happening in the opening monologue.
Mm. Well, like even in the other scenes, the one where what was she supposed to be? AOC, I think.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Damn.
Oh, you have to watch it because there was. And I need you to watch it right now. Like, I need you to go and look at the clip right now.
But I will say, though,
let me find it for you. So you
she's playing characters. Like, I did see the Urkel sketch, and she's playing, like, you know, a drunk mom, and it's SNL. So everything's like super quick, you know, in developing these like little things. So, like, I think it works. I mean, because she is a part of the diaspora, you know, she can. She can definitely
She's Afro-Latina. She made that clear in her opening.
Right. She's a part of the diaspora. She can use the vocal if she needs to use the vocal.
I think you need to see what I'm talking about before you say that. And maybe I'm crazy, but it was.
I'm gonna watch it real quick.
Cringeworthy for me. Yeah. But you know, the opening monologue was great. Yeah, that's what I'll say. I love Ariana DeBose on film, pre-recorded tracks. Yeah, editing. The live situation wasn't the best for me to showcase her talent. And I thought she was going to do more dancing. But, you know, there was that Sound of Music sketch, and that sort of gave a little, but not really.
I like that Sound of Music sketch. I laughed at the song, at the lyrics. I thought it was dumb, but I thought it was funny.
Like, girl, you going to do the accent or you're not gonna do the accent, like throughout the entire sketch. It just anyway, congratulations to her. I want somebody to pluck her wig.
No, send it to me. I can't find it. Find the AOC thing. But I mean,
it's the Eric Adams press conference. So Adams SNL.
I did say I do think like she was I was like a little like, does she always put Spanish accents on these words, or is this just her? I feel like with Ariana DeBose culturally, you know, she was raised by a white woman. So her Afro-Latina-ness, her Blackness, her Latinx-ness is coming from a side of her family that I don't know. I don't know her, but I'm assuming that she doesn't, you know, necessarily have contact with. So I think that her journey racially that we've been kind of experiencing publicly, and I think a lot of people have been voicing frustration about, is because she's coming from a place where, you know, she's raised by a white woman and she is not white. So she's like, I guess, on this journey or this ride. And I guess we're kind of the Broadway community. We're kind of like on it with her in a sense. I don't know. I've been trying to extend grace in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't getting asked to host SNL, so I don't mean like
no, I mean, but yeah, the accent, I was like, wait, what is this? So
her, kudos to her, because you know, opportunity, you know, is coming her way and she's doing some amazing things. She's won a fucking Golden Globe. But I just be feeling like, am I crazy? Just like I sat in that audience and watched Don Lewis die. I'm gonna bleep that. I'm gonna bleep that, but just like I said in the audience and watched her die on stage, I was looking around like, am I the only one hearing this?
I mean, people be here. I heard it too. We were talking about it in the chat. I heard it too. Like, I mean,
I'm talking about in the audience actually listening to her like and dying.
I got a different performance, but it was equally as jarring.
I mean, it was very like, what is going on?
Yeah.
It was. Have you seen it, Kim?
Yeah, I saw it.
But Kim talked about it on Broadway Black.
I talked about it on this.
Oh, did you?
I publicly talked about it. Yes.
Oh, I don't remember.
No, she talked about it. I was like, ooh.
We should normalize. I mean, if you come, like I said, if you want to come and you want to see me and I am not your cup of tea, then I am not your cup of tea. I'm not doing it for you. I'm not giving it, you know, everyone has their own taste. But, you know, I feel like if you're dropped in an authentic way, then I'm feeling it. If you're not, then I'm not. But I don't know. We've jumped around here. I still want to see this freaking sketch so I can know what you're talking about. But in the sketches that I did see her in, I thought that she performed.
Look at it right now. Let me know if I'm crazy. Just watch
it
right now.
I can't find it. Did you send it?
Oh, no. I thought you just, you, girl, all I did was YouTube SNL Ariana DeBose, and it's one of the first things that came up.
Let me go to videos then.
Which hold on. One? I'm going to send you the link. I'm about to send it right now.
Is it the governess sketch or the sapphire?
No, I saw the governess sketch. Oh, wait. Now I see it.
Oh,
Ezra.
Literally about to send the link. See how people do?
Is it the Sappho sketch? Which sketch? Okay, you got it. The Eric Adams press conference one. Got it.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone to City Hall. As you know, it's been a tough few years for New York, but we have a new mayor now, and he hungry. But I will warn you, the mayor does not like chaos. If y'all act up, I will come for you, okay? Now, please clap. For your new man, the friskiest uncle at your barbecue, ladies and gentlemen, Eric Adams.
Now he's funny. Now he was funny. Okay. Like his impression is actually really funny at Eric Adams.
Okay. I mean, I don't know this person that she's being.
Is that not AOC? From the Bronx?
Okay, let me see. It says in the beginning. Let me see who she is.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone to City Hall. As you know,
Emily Hernandez, City Hall.
Who is that?
I don't know.
And I'm sitting up here. I'm sitting up here saying she
AOC. That's why you're just confused. You're just confused. So it's all.
I don't know. She might not even exist. It might just be someone who they made. I don't know. But whatever the yeah, I feel like it might not even be a real person. It might just be a character that they created.
Yeah.
So if she's using a, I mean, you know, yeah, she is using a black scent for sure. But
okay, so like,
she can use one. She's black.
I mean, okay, I get what you're saying, but the intention behind it doesn't feel like
Ezra.
Like it feels caricature-y. Like it
but it's an SNL. It's a poorly made sketch. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's not, you're not gonna get mostly dropped in performances from guest stars. You know what I mean? Like, I think
I hear what you're saying. Like it's not. I understand it's that, but
you,
like
it's giving you non-specific whatever.
Is it not
accent.
Cringy? Is it not cringy?
It wasn't good, but like I don't like SNL. Like it's not good. Like I wasn't offended as a black woman.
Gotcha.
I wasn't offended. I wasn't like it's. I just don't think SNL is very funny to me. So it all kind of, if it misses the mark, I'm not offended. Like I didn't feel like I'm usually offended by the lack of comedy skills than I am by like the racial whatever. Like she made a sketch. Some of it doesn't hit the mark. You know, I also didn't know who she was trying to be. So it wasn't like I was looking for.
Maybe I was confused about who she was trying to be. I mean, I was clearly confused, but like maybe that, you know, was a lens on top of.
I think it's more the writing than it is like.
Yeah.
You know, the confusion of the writing where I'm like, oh, what's her purpose in this scene? Which is right. to be that kind of, which is to be like the sister girl homie to Eric Adams. Like that's the
right. Because they, with that music when he came out, they've already decided what they established him as. So of course right. his sidekick would be reflected.
It's like the hype man. Yeah. She's supposed to be like the hype, she's... like the hype, like New York, you know, like whatever, like to Eric Adams. Cause like he's the black mayor. So that's like what they're doing. And it's not funny. But that's
right.
I don't think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Eric Adams was funny. The Chris Redd was hilarious in the role. His first time leading like a sketch like that, or at least that I've seen. So yeah, that was cute. Congratulations to her, Ariana DeBose. What?
I don't know. I think it's just so funny. Like, what? I mean. I don't know. I find this, you know, the Ariana DeBose conversation, which is only really had, of course, amongst like Broadway people, Black mm-hmm. people on Broadway specifically. And like, you know, the identity, how that's kind of like ingrained in, you know, our brains of like, wait, what is she, and how like our opinions of things are.
Are filtered through that
where I'm like the rest of the world has no idea. That this
and
is
don't care.
Even a thing
and don't care
and no and yeah it doesn't care. I mean I honestly don't think that I care. I am interested in seeing the changes and the evolution of who she is, but I will say this about her SNL thing. When I watched the opening monologue, I did feel like she was dropped in and I felt like she showed her personality. And I do think that she did a good job overall as a host on the show, as far as being those different characters in the sketches that I saw. I thought she did a good job, but like, yeah, I'm trying it. Cause I feel like I definitely critiqued her pretty hard in the past about her identity and like what was said or wasn't said about it.
Oh, you know, I have.
But I'm just kind of.
But
like,
I was very glad that she came out and she clearly stated that she was Afro. And with this West Side Story, she's been clearly stating that she is Afro Latina, which is great. And that's the first time I've heard like a clear, you know, communication on her identity in that way. And that's I think. I mean, not saying that she has to do that, but like it was sort of like it started to get weird like for a second, which is why people was like side eyeing, like what is going on here? But yeah, I mean,
yeah. End of the day, she black. She looked black.
Right.
Black.
More power to you, girl. Get the coin, get the opportunity, get the Oscar, go and grab it. It's within reach. Did y'all watch Woman of the Movement, Adrienne Warren and Tanya Pinkins on Woman of the Movement? It's good. Adrienne's doing really well on television.
I'm sure
really
she like is.
She looks fantastic. She's nailing it. You know, she gives you a period voice. She's gonna give you a period voice. why you giggle like that?
Because I giggle. I'm a giggler. I'm a woman. I'm full of joy. I'm full
what
of joy.
That? What was that?
I'm full of joy.
What's a period voice?
Black period voice? You don't know black period voice?
I mean, but
you don't know black period voice? What do you mean?
What do you
mean?
Black
period voice. Black period of the
it's black period voice. 40s. It's like your Angela Bassett voice. Remember your Angela Bassett voice?
We all know a black period voice.
Remember your Angela Bassett voice?
But it's not. Is that real? Because I don't think my grandmother talked like that.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Kim. You're focusing on things that don't matter.
I don't talk to my grandmother. I'm like, yeah, you know, she got that classic black period voice, that civil rights movement voice.
Yes. That's what we're talking about. That's why I giggled.
Well, little black boys and little black girls right. will join yes. hands in harmony. Yes.
That's correct. And we love it and we're here for it. We all know what we're talking about. We love
Kim,
it.
What? You don't remember your Angela Bassett?
I mean, I remember it. I remember Look, it. I know what it is, but it's just kind of like.
Three teams became one.
Oh, shit. That's not it. I'm trying to find it. Is that it?
No, there's a black period voice. There's the black luminary voice, right? There's a black
voice. Old tomorrow's luminary voice. One immunology. We are ready for anything. pushing VO past possible with a portfolio in the spotlight.
What's happening?
And treatments that will change lives.
This is Kim's Black Period voice.
We are creating new VO opportunities with each discovery as we innovate the future.
The future.
I love everything about us.
That is my, they were like, I think the spec was like creating Angela Bassett. I was like, Angela Bassett? I don't sound like no damn Angela Bassett.
Oh my God.
Everything's so teethy. Like,
what?
That was funny. Yes, but she's doing great in that. I absolutely love it. I just haven't been able to. After the third episode, I got a little tired of being in that, you know, space and period and story. So I haven't made it to the fourth episode, but it's wonderfully done. You know, great television series. Great television series. So catch it if you can. Jeremy Pope will be playing Jean-Michel Basquiat in The Young Vicks, the collaboration with Paul Bettany as Andy Warhol. That show begins in London in February. I think that's going to be interesting.
The way that my brain did Jeremy O'Harris, I was like, what? Jeremy O'Harris is playing Basquiat? No,
Jeremy Pope is playing Basquiat, but like, that's not far-fetched.
That's not far-fetched at all.
That's not far-fetched at all.
Don't put no ideas.
That's hilarious though. Yeah, that should be interesting. I can't wait to see what the production photos look like from that. Because clearly I'm not going to London.
Young Vic is good for a production. They're good for a dope set.
Well, and also it's Kwame. Production. So Kwame is the what is he, the artistic director out there?
And I think he's directing it, right?
And he's directing it.
Yeah.
It's a play by Anthony McCartan. So Shauna Bean is going to be in a new musical. Was that Saturday Night? It's not Saturday Night Live. What is the name of the musical?
Saturday Night Fever. Yeah, no, that's Saturday Night Fever. Saturday Night Fever is a John Travolta movie and musical. This is the Billy Crystal joint.
Oh. Saturday Night.
No.
Saturday Night.
I just like Shoshana Bean and she can sing. So
yeah, that's my favorite white woman.
I'm sure she's gonna sing, and she's the only white woman.
Mr. Saturday Night.
Also, today is James Earl Jones's birthday.
Oh,
happy birthday to James Earl Jones. James Earl Jones is child. Don't give me the line.
Monday, birthday. Y'all. Monday morning.
He was born in 1931. So how old is that?
About 91.
That's 90.
90?
Yeah, 91.
90 or 90. Well, it's 2022, right?
Yeah, 91.
Yeah. He's 91.
Holding on. You made it.
Yeah, go ahead, James Earl Jones, with your bad self.
You made it. Come on now.
Hey, man. Some didn't make it.
That's a look.
But he made it. They announced the cast for Birthday Candles with, was it Deborah Messing? Shout out to John Earl Jelks. He's back on the stage. Oh, I was about to say, didn't he just, but I can't you know talk what that about
is. That. No, you can't. No, you can't. You better just hold.
What?
Hold true. Hold fast to your dreams for when they die.
Hold on.
Wait, what is going on? I feel like this episode going to have a lot of cuts. That actually sounds kind of interesting.
The birthday candle show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just read the synopsis. Ooh. The people writing the synopsises. They're the people that we got to thank. We got
them. Really do.
Because they be, if it's on, then you're like, oh, that sounds just right up my alley. If it's off, I ain't coming.
But yeah, I'm glad I that tickled me.
This is a tickle me Elmo.
What episode are y'all talking about?
We'll tell you offline.
She just don't remember, but she
doesn't
knows
remember any of the conversations that we have.
Right.
Wait, who? I don't even know. Yeah, I don't know.
We don't need
it. Don't matter.
We'll bring it up and we'll talk about.
Okay.
It.
That and John Earl Jelks and Christopher Livingston. Congratulations to Christopher Livingston, who's back on Broadway in this show. That's my boo. Well, actually, it was my boo. We were love interest in Danye's web series. Modern.
Oh, I thought you were gonna give us personal information. I was like, what, Drew?
That was
no, no, no. That was my boo.
See, that on, was my boo
on camera
in 2020 in 2019.
And Danye's modern day black gay. Man, that's been some years ago now. Oh God, 2014 feels so far away. Man, but congratulations. I love, love, love to see my people's working. Talked about Girl from North Country. They'll reopen on Broadway October 13th in the spring.
Oh, wow.
That's far away.
You said October or March 13th?
October 13th.
October.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't handle this. People be.
Oh, wait, no, I lied.
I'm like, that is so far away.
They don't have jobs. I'm like, if you're coming back in October, like, you don't have a job.
Well, what I'm saying is they're going to reopen again. They're in conversation to reopen again in the spring. I read it wrong. They opened originally. They reopened October 13th.
Okay, I was confused. Okay.
And I was just reading it wrong. They reopened October 13th. And they're in conversation to have the show come back again in the spring. So they don't even have
not
a day.
Guaranteed. Got it. Not
right.
Guaranteed.
They don't have it. They don't even have a day. That's wild, y'all.
It's a wild time.
That make me not want to do nothing. It just make me not want to do nothing.
Out to everybody who actually did try and open up their shows on Broadway. And it's just like it's been crazy. Everyone took a risk, but it's been crazy. I just hope these actors are being taken care of. Like,
no,
are they being taken care of?
No, no, of course not. No, no, they're. I mean, maybe they are, but why? If you're having a hiatus, it's a hiatus. They're not going to be paid. I mean, maybe they were given some type of. I mean, I remember during our like little layover period, we did like the workshop into the rehearsal. They gave us like a per diem for that month. So I think we got like $1,000 a week between. Like after the workshop and right before rehearsal for that month, we were taken care of, but that was only a month. I feel like if a show is closing for 9 weeks or whatever, or months, it doesn't, if you're keeping people on payroll, then why are you closing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're closing so that they can open because that's it's a money thing. So I don't think that the actors are being taken care of, but I do think that you're free to go during that time. You know, it's, you can leave, like if you book something else you can go, but the problem is that there's really nothing, you know, unless you're trying to do TV. But that is kind of the beauty of it. Pilot season is where it is in the, we're about to happen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you could focus more on that if you're in one of those shows that's taking a hiatus. But I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming they're not being taken care of, but maybe they are.
Maybe the world is
butterflies and rainbows and unicorns.
I love you.
Also, I'm looking at the news again. Last week, since we weren't here, Trouble in Mind closed. They finished their limited Broadway run.
Right.
And Carolina Change closed. They completed their limited run as well.
Yeah, so I'm glad they completed their runs. That's great.
Yeah, that's really all I got. Oh, we didn't talk about Sidney Poitier passed. Moment of silence for Sidney Poitier, the legend. All right. Sidney Poitier was like the GOAT. I wish he would have came back and done theater more in his later age.
My sister and I went down a rabbit hole, a Sidney Poitier rabbit hole. And what was interesting, since we've been having all this understudy talk, is that he was actually originally an understudy for Harry Belafonte. And so his Broadway debut was actually going on for Harry Belafonte, and a producer had seen him, and that sort of was what took off like his career.
You know that they say their name Belafonte? That's a fun fact. Like
Belafonte?
That?
Belafonte? Oh, is it Belafonte?
I didn't know until I did that for Color Girls thing with Gina Belafonte. Because she was saying Belafonte. I was like, all this time I've been saying Belafonte.
Belafonte.
Right.
You said the world.
Belafonte.
Hey.
She checked us, huh?
I mean, she didn't correct. Right, but you know, still. But she was like, I'm Gina Belafonte. And I was like,
go ahead, girl. Or maybe she, well, I mean, I don't know. But she said that's her name. Shit, that's her name.
Because they're I think they're Jamaican.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like, I believe they're island, you know. Mm. I think that I think that they're Caribbean in origin, okay. At least they're, you know, but I'm not, I could be wrong, but I could be completely fucking wrong. How is the fan on?
Okay. Well, Dave Harris's Tambled and Bones at Playwrights Horizons. This is the first I've heard of this, that they've added a booster requirement in order to come see the show. You have to have the booster. Tambled and Bones is a shape-shifting satire. Yeah. I'm a little cautious with Dave Harris's work. So I'm a little scared.
I saw a workshop of this.
What did you think?
Awesome.
It's awesome.
Fucking awesome. It is. It's a one that I'm like, you want to see it on Black Theater Night. You want to see it with your people. But it was one of the first experiences in these sort of, they're like sort of a group of like incendiary kind of Black playwrights, right? They kind of like confront racism in this way that is like, it's weird to be in the audience sometimes with white people. Cause I'm like, I don't know if you're for me or not, right? There's like a group of those playwrights, right? That we all know who they are. Mm-hmm.
We ain't gonna name names, but we know.
Because we've already said them. And so, you know, there's just that experience that you have. You're like, how is it in this play that is about racism that is supposed to be for me, where I am shrinking and white people are expanding? You know, but I will say that this was the first time, and this was at Ojai, predominantly white, but I will say it was the first time I was in an audience, this was just the reading of it, where I was expanding. And I was watching white people go, should I be here? Like, you know what I mean? Like should I exist? And so it was one of those things where I was like, and it was the first time I've actually had an experience with plays like that. So I'm really curious for you to see it. I'm really excited for people to see it. Cause I think it's a fucking awesome play, actually. I was very excited for it, so.
Okay, that gives me hope. Yeah. That makes me feel better.
Yeah, I know you had a different experience with this play, Incendiary. At Louisville.
I'm sorry, what play is this that we, what play?
I'm trying to think of the name of it because
I think it was called Black? Legendary. Everybody
Black?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Yeah, Everybody Black.
I like that, Everybody Black. Come on.
I did not like the piece.
Everybody Black.
Yeah, so yeah, I felt like it was, yeah. Anyway,
let me write me a play.
Years ago when it happened. It was a couple years ago now. So, okay, well, I feel good. Okay, well, maybe, you know, I'm going to go check it out. See, you know, make sure you have your booster, though. That was the main point of me talking about this thing. You got to have a booster.
Check it out.
You got to have a booster.
So make sure y'all have your booster shot because you ain't getting in without it. And I think they pushed back the show for some time, I think, for people to be able to get the booster since they made that the requirement. So they pushed back the start date of it.
Guys, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Like, are these things going to actually reopen it? Yeah, I'm
kind of like, it's going to be like,
listen, I don't know. They pushed back to Broadway Commas, pushed back to Broadway Commas, pushed back to in person to summer of 2022.
That's this summer.
It was, yeah, I know I'm saying, but it was originally supposed to be in February. So February 20th.
I mean, I think
usually it's in January. So the fact they put it in February this year, they thought they was, you know, doing something.
As he put that milk back.
Childhood, having a child.
Oh my goodness. That's why I want to get, I think I want to get off this roller coaster. I want off.
What, off the COVID coaster?
The theater coaster.
Stop this train, I want to get off.
I mean, I think it's going to be like this for a while. I don't see it.
That's what I'm saying. I want
changing off. Unless there's some type of cure or COVID gets so diluted that it's all like Omicron-ish and we're all getting colds I think that it's going to stay like this, and even eventually, because I feel like you're safe in the long-running shows, which are never plays except for To Kill a Mockingbird, and they had to shut down for a bit, but like, you're not, nobody will be safe. Because the numbers, they said that the holiday numbers were like 44 million as opposed to like maybe 100 million, or I might have the numbers off, but that's what they're used to pulling in. Like, let's say they're used to pulling in 100 million for the holiday season. They pulled in only 44, and this is Broadway as a whole. So that's like less than half. So we're dealing with even like our Hamilton's ticket prices. At the top of before the pandemic, I think you get a ticket in there for $800, $500, $600. Now you're getting tickets $300, $100. in Hamilton, other shows, Two for One, people participating in Broadway Week that don't participate. People, the extended Broadway Week, it's very long now, to encourage people to come to the shows, because to encourage New Yorkers, because the New York audience is really all we have. Tourism is down in general. So if there's another 2-3 years of this, I think you'll see these long running shows shutting their doors too. Hamilton just closed the LA company. That's crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's crazy. It's going to be 4 months
earlier. Yeah.
It's going to be a tough time for people in this business, especially people who don't have, you know, I think everyone, I was going to say just actors, but everyone is going to be taking a hit. Even the crew and stuff, those people who work all the time. Mm-hmm, I feel like you're going to see a lot of people leaving and starting other careers because these houses are empty and these shows are going to close.
Yeah. Period.
If this keeps up, and it's unfortunate, but I think that's just what the reality is.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a lot to deal with. It'd be hurting my heart.
It's like, a weird time.
It's very weird.
It really do.
Like, save your money.
Save your money.
Check on your health.
Well, I'm going to save any more of my comments because we're done here.
please.
We are done.
We did the most.
We didn't do that much. We did okay.
We was all over the place. I feel like I felt disjointed. I'm like, what am I talking about?
We did our best. You know, guys, we did our best. Time. You're going to get the show that you're going to get. That's right. What it is.
I mean,
that's what it is. It's January. We wanted 2022 to be different. Turns out it's not.
All right, y'all. Well, we out here. It's been a brand new episode of Off Book presented to you by Broadway Black. We thank y'all for tuning in and listening to us. Send us your listener letters to offbook@broadwayblack.com.
They still send us nothing?
Yeah, but we haven't got a listener letter in years.
Or are you hoarding them, Drew?
I haven't really looked.
Okay. All right. Okay. So the truth comes out.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing in here. Anyway, bye. Thank y'all for tuning into a brand new episode of Off Book. We just went off book. I'm Drew Shay.
I'm Ngozi Ayamu.
I'm Kim Exum.
And I'm going to bed, y'all. I love y'all. Happy Martin Luther King Day.
Happy Martin Luther King Day. Do you want to say bye, Ezzy, before we leave, since you've been such an integral part of the show? Okay. You just say your name. You say, and I'm Ezzy Solomon. Say that.
I'm Ezzy Solomon, and this is Broadway Black.
Say, I'm Ezzy Solomon, and this is Broadway Black.
I'm Ezzy Solomon, and this is Broadway Black.
That's good. Yay.
That's real good.
I love it.
That's real good.
I love it.
Yeah, I think she's going to be in the business.
Yes, oh, no. Of course.
Make that money.
And I got the first sound bite, so I'm so great. All right, y'all. I'm out. I'm going to bed. I love y'all. Bye, everybody.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.